This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to the Strang Report. We've been covering a lot about the coronavirus, also called COVID-19, and lately a new twist has come up where some authorities in Tampa, Florida, actually arrested my good friend Rodney Howard Brown. And his crime? He held church service. And we've reported this on CharismaNews.com, but today I'm talking to Rodney's attorney, also my friend Matt Staver, and we're going to talk about a bigger issue, and that is, should churches meet or not meet? Matt Staver, I have so much respect for you and what you do at the Liberty Council, and we have worked together in so many ways off and on over the years, and your headquarters are not far from us here in Central Florida. And I first heard about this, about Rodney, and didn't know what to think. I thought, you know, my own church is not holding services except online, and I didn't know what to think. And the first news articles were pretty hostile and made Rodney sound like he was almost a criminal. And of course, there's always two sides. And so I was very interested when you took up this case. And while the case is not the reason I asked you to do this podcast, it does form a backdrop. So maybe you could just kind of update us and then discuss really the question, should churches meet or not meet?
Yes, thank you. Good to be with you, Steve. We took up the case because we looked at all the facts and circumstances in the extraordinary efforts that Pastor Rodney Howard Brown and the River at Tampa Bay Church took to protect its people. And what we have here is an order from the county that came out at 10 o'clock p.m. Friday night. Then Sunday, you have the service. Now, before you even get to the order, the sheriff, who was a friend of Rodney Howard Brown's, spoke to them. They spoke to him, and he said that the church was able to operate and didn't have to shut down, and that he wanted to make sure that the church was able to stay open. That was Thursday. Friday night, the executive order comes out at 10 o'clock p.m. And then on Sunday, he holds the service. Now, what happens in the service is they require hand sanitizers at the entrance. The staff wear gloves, and they required a six-foot separation. So they removed many of the chairs in the sanctuary. It's a big campus. And so anybody that came in had to be 6 foot separated. They also have a farmer's market in the lobby. They required 6 foot separation there with lines marked out on the floor. Then they purchased over $100,000 of a special high-grade hospital air purification system that kills microbes of various viruses, including even the coronavirus. And they installed those throughout the service. So they did extraordinary efforts to comply. Then on Monday, he gets notice that a warrant's out for his arrest by the same sheriff that this past Thursday said he could actually operate and, frankly, under the order, should be able to operate. And instead of just saying, come on down to the police station to turn yourself in, which would be no problem, he would certainly be willing to do it, the sheriff sent deputies out to his home and then rushed to the mics and did a press conference trying to shame Pastor Rodney Howard Brown, and saying that it repeatedly was violating the order. Well, the order just came out on Friday night, and the service was on Saturday, or Sunday, I should say. There was no violation. And yet under this order, it looks like a Swiss cheese. There's so many exceptions. Pretty much anyone can operate. 42 paragraphs of exceptions, no mention of churches. Then if you don't meet one of the 42 paragraphs of exceptions, it says if you can operate a business with six-foot separation, you can have an unlimited number of people there. So the Home Depots and all the others, they're like filled with people and buying essential things such as potted plants, for example. They have no problem operating. The only one that could not is a church. And so consequently, after his arrest, his story went nationally. We have known the pastor for many years, as you have. We looked at the facts and case, and so we will represent him in the criminal case that now is pending against him. It's a second-degree misdemeanor. And by the way, Steve, I've never seen any second-degree misdemeanor, which is like a mid-level traffic violation, be such where the sheriff would convene a press conference while the arrest was in process with armed deputies there to pick him up instead of just coming down and filling out paperwork and going on your day. So we'll represent him in that, but we're also filing a federal lawsuit against the executive order because it's frankly unconstitutional. The state of Florida, as well as other counties like Orange County, where our Liberty Council office is located, churches, houses of worship, they're exempt. They're encouraged to do various kinds of health, remediation, but they are not prohibited from meeting. And this church literally went above and beyond. I've never seen anything, any commercial business, any place ever do what this church did to balance the health and welfare of the people and protect its people. Even telling people that if you're a certain age or if you have certain predisposed conditions or you don't feel comfortable, stay home. Lots of people did, but there were people that came and they ministered to them. And as a result, the pastor got arrested. It's absolutely unbelievable how it turned out.
It is unbelievable. And in a way, it's frightening because it's coronavirus now. It's something else later. And, I admire you standing with Rodney. And from what I know of the case, I admire him doing it. I even sent your press release to my own pastor, who is a good man and is wanting to, follow the authorities. But I wonder if we haven't taken this too far, especially now that it looks like it may go on for a while. So I was interested in this, should churches meet or not meet? This is quite a question, especially with Easter coming up.
Yeah, and each church is going to have to address that on their own. And but at the same time, we sometimes have gotten, unfortunately, used to the idea that church is just the pastor downloading and you have some entertainment with some music. And therefore, you can just substitute that online. Well, first, many people don't have that kind of internet to be able to watch online. And second, a church is a whole lot more, as you know, than just a message from the pulpit and some music. It's also ministering. This particular church, The River, has an incredible ministry beyond just the pastor behind the pulpit. It has lots of services for the community. It has a farmer's market that it provides free food, and it does it all the time, not during just this crisis of the coronavirus. You can't do that online. There's other things that we have to look at and step back for a minute before somebody has a reaction. Well, churches should not meet. They're putting people in health. And I get that, and I get that understanding. But let me kind of unpack it a little bit. In France, when we had the lockdown, the first week of that lockdown in France, domestic violence rose by 32%. I have friends that do domestic law. They're saying that since the home lockdowns in various parts around the country, they are getting flooded by calls for divorce. I've talked to people that are dealing with domestic abuse, child abuse. Across the board, there is an increase. Why? Well, because when people have already stresses in their home, maybe they're a battered wife, maybe they have some tensions in their marriage, their relationship, their kids. Now the kids are home. Now they lose their job. They don't know where their next meal is going to come from, and they can't go outside. What does that do? It exacerbates all of those situations, and it magnifies them. There's no question that we'll see, as a result of these things, lots of added stress. That stress ultimately is sometimes turned against each other in the home. Where is that battered wife going to be able to go out and even go to a church? Just watching online, that's nice. But she needs or he needs, whatever it is, the child, sometimes they need support. And the only time you can do that is in a physical meeting. Now, you can protect the health and welfare. But we have to get beyond, at least my view, we have to go beyond the fact that church is just somebody speaking from a pulpit, downloading information to you. That's part of it, but that's not church. That's a part of church. And there's a lot of things we cannot accomplish online. So I think we have to do two things. One, we have to obviously balance the health and safety of everyone. No question about that. That's certainly a strong, high interest that we all are concerned with. We all believe in the sanctity of human life. Every life is precious. We don't want to put people in risk. But on the other hand, we can do some of those things without throwing out the Constitution. Home Depot, Joann's Fabrics, Hobby Lobby, some of those places that sell picture frames or potted plants, they don't have constitutional rights to exist. to operate. Churches do. So what do we do with the Constitution in a time of crisis? We don't throw it out. We have to balance the constitutional right against the interests that we're trying to protect. In this case, health and safety of individuals in the face of this coronavirus. Why is it that so many people are so eager to say it's okay for Home Depot to, and I'm not picking on Home Depot, I'm just saying that's a pretty common store. Why is it that it's okay for Home Depot to stay open, but it's not okay for a church to stay open, even when a church, as in the case of the River, takes extraordinary efforts to protect the health and welfare of its people? They're not taking credit cards and, you know, touching one person's credit card after another. That's probably more risky than anything else, and yet those things operate, and we allow them to. I'm not condemning them. I'm just saying, look, let's look at all the facts and circumstances, and let's not have a knee-jerk reaction to the fact that a church just simply ought to remain closed, because if it's opened, it's going to risk the health and welfare of the people. There's a way to balance the health and welfare with our constitutional liberties and be more than just a place that downloads a message, but a place that really ministers to people.
Well, I'm so glad that you're bringing this kind of clarity. You know, one of the things that concerns me that we haven't really talked about yet is the fact that some people are saying that churches are not essential. And I think that is a very dangerous place to go. You're right about Home Depot. In fact, that's one of the few stores that I've gone to pick up a few things. And you're right. You know, they asked people to stand 6 feet apart, but that was about it. And there were a lot of people in the store. In fact, it looked like the people were, or I should say, I assumed that a lot of the people had time on their hands and were doing spring, you know, cleanup of their gardens and so forth. But, you know, churches are essential. Now, abortion clinics around the country, many of them are open. Now, of course, there's no way of knowing. Some may have closed, but we did another story on charismanews.com about an abortion clinic in one of the Carolinas that it was open. There were some people outside praying. They were 6 feet apart, and they were let off in handcuffs.
Handcuffs. Well, and Steve, in this particular county, Hillsborough County, get this, the same sheriff just released 163 criminals because he didn't want to keep them in jail because of the coronavirus. And then he arrested a pastor. So, you know, what is scary is that these executive orders, whether they're from a state or from a local county or city, they're not debated by the legislature. They're not vetted by constitutional attorneys. They're not getting the input of the public. They don't understand how all these things apply as they quickly print them off and then run to the mics and do a press conference. And lo and behold, you're waiting with bated breath. Am I essential or am I not? And with one word, they can either make a church non-existing or existing. And if you look at some of the other, since Pastor Rodney was arrested on Monday, that has gotten the worldwide attention, frankly. As a result, Governor of Texas Greg Abbott just amended his executive order and said churches are essential. And originally, they weren't in the essential category, but now he says they are essential activities, services. Indiana did the same thing this week. If you look at, for example, even Michigan, you have a liberal governor in Michigan. Michigan, from the very beginning, in its statewide executive order, exempted houses of worship, which includes churches, synagogues, and mosques. And in Kansas, the executive order says, doesn't say specifically churches, but it says that you shouldn't apply it in a way that would take away, restrict constitutionally protected rights. But it is very concerning if people really understood what you were saying, how dangerous it is to allow a single governmental official, whether it's a mayor or whether it's a governor, to simply with the stroke of a pen include you as a right to exist with the word essential or literally wipe you out and shut your doors. And as it relates to churches, that is exceptionally dangerous.
You're right. And this sheriff, who I don't know, I don't live in Hillsborough County, of course, I never heard his name. But according to some reports, they said that when he saw the pictures of them holding service, he was furious. No one should be making decisions when they're furious, number one. Number two, why did he rush to the microphones? Why did he say he wanted to make an example of Rodney Harbrown? I mean, this is just egregious behavior. And, you know, thankfully in Florida, we elect our sheriff so the people in Hillsborough County can vote him out of office. And I don't know what a public official can do that would be worse than this. I really don't.
You know, he's running for re-election, and he actually met with the pastor by speakerphone on Thursday of last week, less than a week ago now, saying that he doesn't want to shut the church down and that it's free to continue operations. Then he did this. And we're talking again about a mid-level type of traffic ticket. It's 2 months in jail, which your maximum fine, and $500 is your maximum fine. That's the maximum. When have you ever seen something like that where they send out sheriff deputies to someone who's well-known, lived in the community for many years? I believe he started the church in 1996, so he's been there a long time. No flight risk. All you have to do is call him. He's got his cell phone. They have texted back and forth earlier this year when the church gave the sheriff an award on behalf of the law enforcement of Hillsborough County. And so he had his information. He had just talked to him on Thursday. Why didn't he pick up the phone? No, he wanted to make a spectacle of it. Why? Because he wanted to shame the pastor. He literally said that, Steve, in his press conference. And he invited a minister from the community. The minister, he invited two. One was is an elected official, and the other one is not. And the one minister is a friend of Rodney. He had no idea the press conference was about this, but he wanted this minister to come to a press conference on coronavirus. So he showed up, and he's shocked that it's about the ongoing, as we speak, arrest of Rodney Howard Brown. Then he has the state attorney for the county speak, and he quotes Mark chapter 12:31, to love your neighbor as yourself. And then he has this bishop, who's also a member of the city council, speak, and he starts giving a lecture theologically why Rodney should not actually have the church service, and talking about quarantines are supported in the Bible. So he turns it into a theological debate, and his purpose is to shame Rodney, and the polite way is to say he misrepresented the facts. The reality is this sheriff lied multiple times in that press conference, and he did it again yesterday in a radio interview, saying the same thing over and over again. It is the most shocking thing that I've ever seen a public official do.
Well, I agree with you, and I'm glad that attention is being focused on this. I hope people will send this podcast around to people who may be interested to know. I'm glad that it's already affected the situation in Texas and Indiana, and hopefully a lot of other states will follow suit. And, of course, this is going to work its way through the courts. It's going to probably be dealt with long after this is over. And I'm glad that you're not just passively taking it, because officials sometimes do what they can kind of get away with. You know, there's the law, and then there's also public opinion. And we need to let our officials know, whether it's this sheriff in Hillsborough County or the sheriff here in Seminole County where I live, or other elected officials, that, you know, if they're going to violate people's constitutional rights, if they're going to try to shame people publicly, and you have to just wonder why he's doing it. I mean, an obvious possibility is for his own political advantage, that they're not going to be able to get away with it. So thank you for standing with him, standing strong. And I hope this will also give boldness to a lot of other pastors who are trying to decide how to deal with this coronavirus. So as we wrap up this podcast, let me give you the last word and tell people how they can get more information on your website, because I know that some people are going to want to do their own due diligence and research this a little bit, and I know you have a lot of materials there at Liberty Counsel.
Well, thank you, Steve, and thank you for addressing this very important issue. It's very timely for all of us around the country. People can go to Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, very simple, just two letters, lc.org, lc.org. Thank you. It's great to be with you, Steve, and thank you for getting this information out.
And thank you for taking time from an extraordinarily busy schedule to share your thoughts with my listeners. And thank you for my listeners for tuning in again to the Strang Report. Tune in again tomorrow. We're dealing with the coronavirus. It seems like that's everything that people are talking about nowadays. So until then, thank you for listening. God bless you.